Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. Do you think she said it like that? Almost like, here it is, deal with it. Oh, and by the way, your grandson, he's going to be the son of the Most High God. The angel told her not to be afraid. And Mary, well, we know that she was faithful. So maybe she just decided to believe him, that whatever was about to happen, she was going to be okay. When do you think she realized that she hadn't accidentally found herself in this situation, but she had actually been chosen for it? Because when you know that you are chosen, you know that you are loved. And when you're loved, well, that gives you the confidence you need to walk through doors that no one else would dare go through. But Mary dared. She dared to trust God, even when she watched him give up his life for our sakes. In all of it, through the unforgettable miracles and the very scary moments, she trusted in his will rather than demanding answers. She stepped forward instead of turning back. She walked out instead of hid. Kind of makes you want to be like that little girl, huh? So, do not be afraid, for I proclaim good news that will be a great joy to all people. Today, your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on whom his favor rests.
Thank you, Allie. Have you ever considered that? What was it like for Mary? What do you think? What do you think it was like for her to have to tell her parents that she was pregnant? To try to give an explanation that an angel had appeared to her and told her that what was conceived in her would be of the Holy Spirit, that she hadn't become impure in any way. She had been betrothed to Joseph. And so what do you think that was like? Pretty scary, don't you think? For a young teenage girl, many believe probably 13, 14, 15 years old at the earliest, maybe 16, 17 at the oldest. Pretty scary things, right? How did she share that news to her parents? Mom? Dad, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm pregnant, right? What was she feeling? What was that divine message? What did it mean to her as the mother-to-be? When the angel said, "Fear not," do you think she thought, "Easy for you to say"? Right? Oh, well, we can see in Luke chapter 1 that the angel said to her this. He said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and here's the word, wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Notice that Mary wondered. Mary wondered, what kind of greeting was this? What does this mean? Following Gabriel's explanation, then in verse 34, she says, "Well, how will this be since I'm a virgin? How is this going to happen? I'm wondering, I'm pondering. I have so many questions." Curiosity and wonder. I think sometimes we lose that, don't you? I can remember when I was younger at Christmas time, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to decorate the cookies. I couldn't wait to decorate the tree and put the ornaments up on the tree. I couldn't wait for that Christmas morning and Christmas Eve. I had a hard time going to sleep. Anybody remember when you were a kid and you had a hard time going to sleep? And if you were like me, you were one of the first ones up in the morning running downstairs to see what might be under the tree. I mean, it was just one of those times of wonder. Christmas was about wonder. But yet, somewhere along the way, as we grow older, we have a tendency to lose that wonder, don't we? We have a tendency to lose the wonder. We have a tendency to let it wear off. Maybe our anticipation gets trampled under the weight of all of the responsibilities. Anybody have a lot of responsibilities? Right? The decorating has to be done, and the baking has to be done, and the meals have to be prepped, and the Christmas presents have to be bought, and they have to be wrapped, and we have to send out the invitations to the parties, and we've got to get ready for this, and we've got to get ready for that. And it can kind of weigh us down, and we lose the wonder of what Christmas is all about, don't we? Sometimes the holidays bring sadness. Perhaps this year you've lost someone very close to you, and so Christmas looks a little bit different this year than it did before. We can lose a little bit of the wonder in the midst of all of those kinds of things. There's all kinds of things, but today and throughout this month, we want to recover the wonder of Christmas. Do you know that the church has a wonderful recovery plan? It's called Advent. Advent is a program, and not even a program, but it's what anticipates the appearing or the coming. It comes from the Latin word adventus. It means that we look back with wonder at what happened, but we look in anticipation because we know that our Lord said he is coming again. Amen. Future return of our Lord and Savior. This Christmas, as we go on a discovery, we're going to discover the wonder of Christmas as we explore who Jesus is and what he came to do for us. Now, how many of you love the song Joy to the World? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Come on. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Well, the fourth verse says, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. Here we go. And wonders of his love. And wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Well, guess what we're going to talk about today? The wonder of his love. We're going to talk about the wonder of his love today, expressed through the fact that when it came at Christmas time and the wonder of God's love, God made the first move. How many of you know that? God made the first move. He is the one who made the first move to us. Here's what 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 tells us. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Isn't that wonderful? God made the first move. God made the first move. And that move happened as we begin to consider this time of Christmas and the wonder of his birth. What we are really celebrating is the fact that when we were far away from God, God came near to us in the form of his Son, Jesus. God drew near. When we were far from God, he drew near to us. He demonstrated his love to us. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, So often we feel like in order for us to draw near to God, we've got to do something to clean up our act. But Scripture tells us something different, that while we were yet sinners, not even in need of God, He came and drew near to us. We live in a world today that's very confused about love, don't we? We say things like, if you love me, then I will do this. If you love me, then I'll do this. That's not love. Sometimes we believe that love is a feeling, right? Just follow your feelings. And all the Hallmark movies today. Just follow. Oh, I just feel. But how many of you know feelings are fickle, right? One moment we're in, the next moment we're out, right? Our feelings are fickle. We can't be confused by our feelings and the wrong feelings and be led by the wrong feelings and all of those kinds of things. Love is more than a feeling. And how many know that in our society today, we also confuse lust with love? There's a lot of confusion around what is love. And at some point, we might even wrestle with the question, God, how do I know that you love me? I know I've been moments like that when I experience certain things in life, certain things that happen that I go, well, that's not fair. Why did this happen in my life? Why did I have to go through that pain? Why did I have to lose this person? Why did I have to go through that trial? How many of you know when you're going through a trial or a difficulty, you go through a loss, you lose someone that you love, and they're no longer with you, or somebody that you love gets sick, or you get sick, and you have to walk through it, and God forbid, if you lose a child or your child gets sick, you might begin to question God's love. At some point in time, if you live enough life, I think that you're going to find yourself doing that, asking the question, I wonder, does God love me? I wonder, does God love me? But the story of Jesus' birth reveals that God's love comes in a remarkable way. And through the appearing of Gabriel to this young girl named Mary, announcing that she would be with child through the Holy Spirit, we begin to see a demonstration of God's love. Not only His love to Mary, but His evidence of His love to all of us. And so this morning, I want to share with you four ways that God's love can impact us this Christmas. Four ways that God's love can impact us this Christmas as we look at the wonder of His love today. And at the end, we're going to close with a time of communion together as we celebrate His love. So if you have not grabbed one of these when you came in by the doors, you might want to slip out at some point to make sure that you grab some communion. I meant to say that earlier as well. Four ways God's love impacts us this Christmas. Number one, God's love alleviates our fears. God's love alleviates our fears. Let's go back to that story and revisit it one more time. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 30. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And look what it says. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. I don't know how you would react if an angel showed up. I know when we think of angels, oftentimes we look and sometimes, you know, they're like little babies with wings or something like that. But I'm going to tell you, that was not the case when it came to angels in Scripture. Angels were mighty warriors in Scripture. When they showed up, people were afraid. When they showed up, they wondered. Because it was as if God was visiting them, and why is God visiting me? And perhaps judgment is coming upon me. And so there was oftentimes great fear whenever there was something like that. The New Living Translation says that when Gabriel, the angel, had appeared and said those words, Mary was confused and disturbed. That's the way the New Living Translation puts it. Confused and discouraged. And disturbed. Confused and disturbed. Later in the story, we highlight Christmas, at Christmas time, the shepherds, right? You've got these shepherds. You might think, well, this was a little teenage girl. What about mighty shepherds, right? They're out there. They're protecting their flocks. But when the angel showed up, the angel had to say, fear not, because they had fallen down in fear and shaking when the angels had come. Fear not, the King James Version says. Well, the context might be that Mary didn't quite understand what the announcement was all about or what Gabriel was saying to her. I think that in the context of the situation, we might also say that in light of what the angel was telling her, there might be a lot of reasons to be anxious and afraid. Luke provides us the context leading up to Gabriel's announcement, highlighting twice that Mary was a virgin, that she was young and she was betrothed and engaged to be married to a man by the name of Joseph. But that divine announcement and assignment was going to change Mary's plans for the future. How many of you know that when you know Jesus, sometimes he shows up and your plans change? I don't know about you, but I'm a planner. I don't like when God changes my plans. I like my plans. My plans are safe. I know where my plans go, right? I like to know where I'm going. I don't like to not know where I'm going. I'm a fan of GPS on my phone. I don't like to get to a place where my phone doesn't work and has no service, and all of a sudden I don't know where I am. Right? When you don't know what the future holds, or something happens and something comes up and you become aware that changes what the future is, what your plans are, how many of you know that can bring fear? That can bring anxiety. I don't know. I like to be in control. It's not fun when I'm not in control. It's scary. And this announcement would change her plans. It would change perhaps how people saw her. How, as we said, how would she explain that to her parents? What would they think about what she was telling them? It's not like the angel Gabriel we see in Scripture appeared to her parents and said, at least we know that later on when Joseph was considering divorce in Matthew chapter 1 to divorce her because betrothal and that was more than just an engagement. It was a contract. There was something to it. And he would divorce and considering putting her away quietly. At least an angel showed up to tell him the plan. But she didn't know that at the time. I'm getting ready for a wedding. You know that Christmas time is one of the times when people get engaged the most. Sorry, Valentine's Day. In fact, studies show that Christmas Eve, this is the time where more people get engaged than even Valentine's Day. It's a season of love. It's a season of love. But her plans were about to change. And when those things happen, it can bring fear. How would her community treat her? So much uncertainty, so many reasons to be afraid, yet the words of the angel were simply this: Mary, do not be afraid. Mary, fear not. Fear not. I've got this. Hear the words spoken by the angel Gabriel. They were assuring her of God's love. Look at what he says in verse 28. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do you see that? Highly favored, the Lord is with you. Do you know that the words favored here comes from the Greek word keritaio? And the first part of it is the word charis, where we get the word grace from. The word grace. God's grace is upon you. God's favor is upon you. Mary, you have been radically blessed by the grace of God. The last part of the greeting, here's this grace. The Lord is with you. You don't know what the future holds, but listen, God's grace is upon you. And as Paul said and wrote later on, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your what? Weakness. Not in your strength, but in your weakness. And then he says, the Lord is with you. That's grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Mary was the recipient of God's grace. And because she was the recipient of God's grace and Jesus coming, you and I are also the recipients of God's grace. Highly favored. The truth of the matter was, Mary was not an extraordinary person as we might think about people. While some tend to elevate Mary, perhaps giving the impression that she was sinless, and maybe that's why God chose her, or there was some kind of elevation to it, that was not the case. Mary received the grace of God, and God chose her for this responsibility. God chose her. He picked her out for this responsibility. Later in Luke 1:47, Mary expresses this about her own spiritual situation when she says, "How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And God, my Savior, I don't know if you know this or not, but Mary needed a Savior. Mary needed a Savior. And you know what? You and I need a Savior. You and I need a Savior. Like you and me, Mary was in need of a Savior for her own sins. God's choice of Mary was based on His unmerited favor. It was His own choice, because when you consider who she was poor. She was young. She had no influence, and we know that the place where she was, the place where she lived, was in an area called Galilee. It wasn't even down in Jerusalem, in Judah. It was in Galilee, and it was a place called Nazareth. And later on, when Jesus was selecting His disciples, there was one who said, "Jesus from Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth?" This was a poor town. This was a town that was not considered to be great in any way. And yet here is this young girl, Mary, this unknown young teenage girl with her life in front of her and her future in front of her. But she's unknown. She's a poor, no influence in this little unknown town that people go, "Can anything good come from there?" And yet God says, "Oh yeah, that's who I'm going to choose. That's who I'm going to choose." Why are you going to choose that, God? Upon the angels, I'm going, "God, why are you choosing? Why wouldn't you choose the daughter of a king? Why wouldn't you choose somebody of nobility?" God says, no. Because I look and I see favor. And that's who I choose. That's who I choose. I choose Mary. Why? Because of my grace. What kind of greeting is this? "Oh, Mary, you are favored. Highly favored by the Lord. Because the Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. God sent the ultimate Christmas gift, not just to Mary, but to all of us. Mary is just the one that delivered the package. She was the Amazon driver. Just kidding. That's not, she was much more than that. Please forgive me. That was a poor choice of a joke right there. 'Tis the season, right? No. She delivered this wonderful package to us that we might also be the recipients of God's favor and grace. This favor and grace. And speaking to Joseph, this is what the angel declared in Matthew 1:21. "She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Is there anybody here that would say, "I don't need a savior for my sins. I got this." Nope. I need a savior, and you need a savior. And we need the love of God, who said, "You know what? I know that you need a Savior, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you the gift of my Son and grace." And this is what 1 John 4:17 and 18 affirms, this truth that when we know God's love in this way, our fear is gone. Remember, God's love alleviates our fear. Here's what 1 John 4:17 and 18 says. "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made in perfect love." Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, when you know God's love, it alleviates your fear. When the angel showed up and said, Mary, you are chosen. You are highly favored of the Lord. God's grace is upon you and the Lord is with you. When you begin to know God's love like that, then any fear that you have begins to go away. And you don't have to worry about what the future holds because you know the one who holds the future. You know the one who holds the future. You begin to know the one who called you, the one who chose you, the one who put his grace upon you. And when you know that you have been chosen by God, when you know that you have been the recipient of his grace and his love, it doesn't matter what is coming because you know there is one who loves you and who will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is with you. God's grace alleviates our fears. God's love alleviates our fears. Secondly, God's love assures us of his promises. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? How can you be so sure of that? Well, as Mary was contemplating what was happening, she was curious about what the angel was telling her. She was given this amazing assurance of God's plan. Luke 1:31 to 33, you will conceive and give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. Look at what it says. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. In these short verses, there is so much what we call theology of what our faith is founded on right here in these verses. You will conceive and give birth to a son. Have you ever considered the humanity of Jesus? That God's son became human and put on flesh and dwelt among us. That he was both, or as we're going to see here, he was both God and man. Do you know that's foundational to our faith? That the eternal one, Jesus, who is eternal, who was there at the very beginning of creation, now God himself come and put on flesh being human. Amazing, isn't it? And then it says, he will be great. He will be very great. He will be great. He'll be great. How many of you as parents want to hear that your kids are going to be great? Right? Your kids are going to be great. Mary is told, this child of yours, he's going to be great. Oh, and by the way, this is not anything to do with the sermon, but I found it interesting. This was in the days before ultrasounds. You know, usually you got to get to like the, you know, like through the first trimester and then they can do an ultrasound. They can tell you the gender of the baby. Guess what? The angel says you're going to have a son. I don't know if you ever picked up on that before. As I was studying and writing for this message, I was like, oh, that's really cool. I like that. He will be great. He will be great, undeniable, the long-awaited Messiah. He will be the Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of his father, David, his ancestor, David. He will reign over Israel forever. He will have an eternal kingdom. There is so much theology that is packed up right in this. He is the long-awaited Messiah. The soon coming king, the son of David, he's the one that would redeem Israel from that exile. Remember, they had been exiled and they had been in Babylon and then the Medo-Persians and they were brought back, but they were always under somebody. If it wasn't the Persians, then it was under the Greeks and then it was under the Romans. They had never fully received that promise. But now here is the promise that king in the line of David, God's covenant with David, would come forth and he would establish his kingdom, and that kingdom reign would be forever. Amazing. Do you know the Old Testament adjective great, when ascribed to someone without any other descriptor, is almost always used to describe God alone? People who say that in Scripture it doesn't ever point to the fact that Jesus is God have never read their Bible. Chat GPT or whatever else you go to get your theology will sometimes tell you wrong. I'm just going to tell you that. I had a conversation with somebody. Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. I said, you've never read your scripture. Well, that's what chat told me. I don't trust the Bible, but I'll trust chat. Okay. Good luck with that. Trust me. There, you got to read your Bible. Read your Bible. It's in there. Great. And then foretold, 2 Samuel 7, how the son of David would, God would be their father, and he would always have a son on his throne. There would be coming a son, and it says that this son would be in the throne of David. That's a promise that would made in the Old Testament, and Gabriel doesn't just attach only Jesus' identity, but also the coming of the Davidic king. But also in the book of Daniel, when he says the Son of the Most High, that was the title of the book of in the book of Daniel for the Messiah that would come, the Son of the Most High. And in Daniel, we're told Son of Man, which would be co-equal with God, who receives an eternal kingdom that will never end. And all of God's enemies would be destroyed. All of these things weaving together in the divine Davidic and Danielic covenant. These were all promises way before in the Old Testament that Mary was told were going to be fulfilled in the son that would be in her that she would give birth to. Promises. Promises. And there seems to be just this kind of, Israel again had no king and all of these things, and it felt almost impossible. And then there's the great prophecy about a virgin who would give birth to a child, and he would be called Emmanuel. And in Isaiah 7:14, the hallmark prophecy, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. And Luke sets all of this up by saying twice, if you read it, that Mary was a virgin, and the Gabriel would appear to the Virgin Mary. And it was more than just about moral purity. It was about understanding that this was a fulfillment of a prophecy that had been made years and years before, and promises that had been given years and years before that God was about to do. And guess what? It had nothing to do with Mary's ability to be able to bring it to pass. It was all about God's ability to bring it to pass, because God does what he promises. God does what he promises. His love is not fickle, and it's not based on what you and I do or don't do. It's based on what he has come to do and what he promised he would do. God's love is based on promises. And so when our present is a little wonky and our future looks a little bleak, we don't have to fear, because God says, listen, I'm in control and I'm going to do what I promise. Read my word and you're going to see my promises. They are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God proved it, and he's still proving it today. And guess what? He's coming again. The third way that God's love impacts us this Christmas is God's love answers our deepest questions. Again, Mary being stirred up some very practical questions in her. As the angel is telling her all these things, she's in the moment, she's trying to run this through her head. Well, how's that going to happen? And I'm a virgin. I don't know how is this all going to come about? And it wasn't that she questioned whether God could do it. It was a matter of how are you going to do this? So she asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And again, how I've been kept myself pure. How is this possible? You know, sometimes we have real questions, right? How many know God doesn't give us all the answers? Sometimes when he puts stuff, there's more questions than answers. That's why it's called faith, right? That's why it's faith. If you had all the answers, you wouldn't need faith. You wouldn't need faith. And we wonder, God, how can you possibly save us, perhaps? Or God, how can you possibly use us, or even get us through the challenging road ahead? I'm looking at my bank account right now. I don't know how that's possible. I'm looking at the current state of my marriage, and I don't know how you would ever get that back together and how you could ever do that. And I'm looking at my health situation, and I see the doctor's reports, and I'm wondering, Lord, how could you ever do that? I don't know how that's possible. How could you do that? And we have all these questions sometimes. God, how? God, I don't understand. understand how are you going to do that? But let me tell you, Mary receives highlights of an important part of God's love and his power to be able to do the impossible. We read it as we closed out worship, and it says the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born to you is holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And what's more, your relative Elizabeth, who has become pregnant in her old age, people used to say that she was barren, but she has received a son and is now in her 6th month. Let me tell you something. You can confirm what I'm telling you. You got some questions, but you can confirm what? What are you going to confirm? That the word of God will never fail. And in the ESV, it says that it is nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary had questions, but here's what she found out. What in our minds is impossible is possible with God. How? What did the angel say? What was the key? How is this possible? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Friends, I want you to understand that in us, what we find impossible to do, nothing is impossible to God. Why? Because of his Holy Spirit that he gives to us, who lives in us and comes upon us. It is the Holy Spirit in us that allows these things to take place, which we see that are impossible. It's not about our power. It's about his. It's about his grace. It's about his favor. It's about what he does. It's about him working in our lives. And when we begin to know his love in that way, we begin to see the power of the Holy Spirit that works in and through us, allowing us to be able to do things that we never dreamed we could do, or allow circumstances to happen or be a part of that we never dreamed could even be possible. How is it possible? How could that happen? It's because of his Holy Spirit in us. The power of God in us that begins to work and begins to answer questions that we have. You see, salvation itself is not something that you and I can produce. We can't produce it. It's not something that we get on our own merit. We simply are not good enough and cannot do enough, but God is able to do it because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look at Ephesians 2, 3 through 5. All of us have lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath, but because of his great love for us, underline that one, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It's by grace you have been saved. It is not our own merit. We can't produce it. We can't stop gratifying the desires of the sinful nature, but I'll tell you who can. God can in us. How does he do that? He does that through the power of his Holy Spirit, because those who do not walk after the flesh but walk after the Spirit begin to experience a power in their lives that allows them to be able to walk in a freedom they cannot walk on their own. And it's God's power that allows us to be prepared for whatever assignment that he has for us. You see, God's love alleviates our fears. It assures us of God's promises. It answers our deepest questions through his power. And Mary receives all of this. And there's one final way that God's love impacted her. And it's this: God's love allows us to walk in confident faith. In confident faith. Look at her response. Luke 1:38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. "I'm the Lord's servant." Again, at the beginning, she was troubled, deeply troubled and confused. "Mary, do not be afraid." As she was going along hearing what the angel was saying, she began to contemplate, "I don't understand. I got a lot of questions. How can this be? I don't quite understand. I don't know. How can this be? Nothing is impossible with God. Fear not. The Lord is with you." And by the end of this conversation, she simply came to a place where she had a confident faith, where she was willing to let go and say, "God, may it be to me. God, may it be to me. God, I want to walk in faith and receive what you have for me, the plan that you have for my life." You see, Mary accepted the invitation and the call of God upon her life. Though her future still seemed uncertain, She was ready to move forward, saying, God, may it be to me what you have said. In other words, allow your will to be done in my life. How is that possible? Because she encountered the love of God who spoke to her and who chose her and said, I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got something for you. But God, I don't know how that's ever going to come about. How are you ever going to do that in my life? And he says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And friends, that is just an illustration of how you and I can walk in confident faith in the love of God. He doesn't always give us all the answers, but he assures us of his love and he gives us his Holy Spirit, and that gives us a confident faith that we can walk by faith and not by sight. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We can begin to walk out the plan that God has for us. 1 John 4:11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. You see, God's love equips us to do what he's called us to do, and that is to love one another, to walk confidently and boldly in faith of what God is asking of us. Worship team, will you come? Today, I want to ask you, before we move into a time of communion, do you need to rediscover the wonder of Christmas? God has given his son Jesus to demonstrate to us his amazing love for us, that we might know his favor, that we might know his grace, that we might know his love, so that his love can begin to alleviate our fears. Today, if you struggle with anxiety and worry and fear, I want you to look at the love of God. You look at an unknown future, I want you to know something. God loves you today. God loves you today. Perhaps it seems difficult. Perhaps like Mary, your situation, you feel troubled. You feel a bit confused. You have many questions today. God wants to alleviate those fears today by revealing to you his love through his son, Jesus. Perhaps you're in need of a little assurance today. I want you to know that God fulfilled his promise in Jesus, not just at his coming and his birth, but also his death and his resurrection. And because he had been resurrected and he has life, you and I have the confidence that God will do what he said he'll do. He does it. He did it. And he continues to do it. And we can allow the promises of God's love to reassure the questions that we have in our heart. Are you unsure? God, how are you going to do what you promised? Lean into the Holy Spirit today. Lean into his power. Let his power begin to fill you with a confidence in your faith, and do what Mary did, surrender and receive. Say, God, here I am. I don't understand it all. I don't know it all. I've got lots of questions. But you know what? I simply surrender and receive your love in my life today. In fact, I feel like that today. That maybe you're here today and maybe you're a little unsure about your faith, or maybe you're a little unsure about Jesus. You're a little unsure about all of this and you have questions, but today you feel the invitation. You feel the invitation of the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart today and saying, will you accept my invitation to receive my love today, to receive Jesus into your life today, to receive the Holy Spirit into your life today, the transformation that he wants to begin in you, the forgiveness that he wants to give you. You don't need to, you can't earn it, you can't do it, you can't, it's not about getting cleaned up, it's about receiving his forgiveness, receiving his grace today. And I feel like perhaps there's somebody here today that you need to receive that invitation of God's love in your life right now before you leave today. If we could bow our heads just for a moment. If you're here today and you say, you know, I need to do what Mary did. I just need to surrender and I need to receive the love of Jesus in my life. I need his forgiveness and grace. I need his salvation today in my life. If that's you, will you slip up your hand today? I need to receive Jesus and his salvation today. I need to receive Jesus and his salvation today. Thank you. Thank you. I need to receive his love and salvation today. Anyone else today? Thank you. Yeah. Will you pray with me? Can we all just pray together? And will you just pray and say just a simple prayer, putting our faith in Jesus, asking for his forgiveness and receiving his love in our heart today. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you today that you love me. that you made the first move. I ask you today to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse my life. Come into my life today and make me new. I receive that invitation of salvation. Change me and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate what the Lord has done this morning? Come on, celebrate what Jesus has done this morning. Amen. Amen. Today I want to close with a time of communion together with you. If you'll just take the elements that you have today and just prepare the bread. We're going to take it, receive together. So just hang on to it. I'm going to walk us through that together in just a few moments. And you don't have to be a member of Painesville Assembly of God or the Assemblies of God or anything like that. You just have to be a part of the body of Christ or have received Christ into your life to be a part of receiving communion with us today. Friends, the Christmas story is incomplete without understanding that Jesus came to die for humanity's sins, right? Communion connects the manger to the cross. Jesus came to give his life for us. As we read earlier in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, the bread and the cup of communion serve as a reminder of his broken body and his shed blood, the ultimate expression of his love that was offered as an atoning substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. Through Jesus' birth and sacrifice, a pathway was created that you and I might find intimacy with our Heavenly Father, that we might be reconciled to him again, that veil that kept us out of his presence torn into. You see, communion is a reminder of the wonder of God's love for us, his mercy, his grace, his favor that we don't deserve through his Son, Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came to earth with a mission that he might give us life by offering his life as a sacrifice on the cross that we might receive the forgiveness and reconciliation. So today, as we receive communion, let it be a reminder to us of God's great love for us. 1 Corinthians 11:23 begins like this: "For I received from the Lord, which also I passed on to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it." You can just break it if you want. Broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, thank you that you entered the brokenness of our world, broken by sin. Lord, that our bodies, our physical life here began to experience pain that it was never meant to. We never were meant to experience this kind of pain. We weren't meant to experience the loss that we experience because the wages of sin is death. We weren't made to experience the problems we have in our bodies and the sickness and the disease and the brokenness, Lord, that comes as a result of sin. But you came and entered our brokenness because you loved us first. And you allowed your body to be broken for us. So today we thank you for your broken body. And Lord, this symbol of your broken body that reminds us of your great love for us. And that you came and were broken that we might be made whole through you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive together. Go ahead and take the cup. Hold it in your hand. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said this: "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." New covenant reminds us of the promises, right? And through Jesus, the old covenant was fulfilled, and he established a new covenant. A new covenant that salvation comes by faith through him, and that forgiveness comes because he shed his blood to pay for our sin, the penalty of our sin. Father, thank you. Thank you that when we had no way of receiving forgiveness, when we could not even begin to pay for all of the sins that we have committed, that Jesus, you came and you paid the price, and that your blood atones for our sin. Thank you that when we place our faith in you, that Lord, we can trust that as we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you. All of these promises, Lord, come when we consider your love for us as you shed your blood so that we might be reconciled to you and forgiven. How powerful that is to be forgiven. Thank you for your great love that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 26 closes like this. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, and here's the last words, until he comes. Until he comes. Remember, the first Advent was waiting on his coming, but he's coming again. His first Advent reminds us of a second Advent, that the Lord is coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Paintsville Assembly of God, visit PaintsvilleAG.com.